James chapter 2.
1 and 2.
Well, we're in James 2 now.
We're in James 2.
And so we'll just do a little bit and then we'll do some praying. So if we look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and initially we start off the law of love. And in verse 1 he starts off and says, "Brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." You know, he don't want you to treat it lightly. He wants you to take hold of this faith and begin to use this faith effectively. He wants you to take it and become violent with it, in one sense, against the powers of darkness, against things that come against us. And so, don't treat your salvation lightly.
No.
It's probably another term we could add to that, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't treat it lightly.
Yeah.
It's important that we realise that our faith has been birthed in us. It's a gift from God. It's been birthed in us to move and to change things, to set a new dimension, to cause things to happen, and it's because of the love of God that he's given faith to us, faith to be saved.
Amen.
And faith to go on
in
the things of God, and faith to grow.
So
it's important that we grasp hold of this, you know, that and take hold of it and begin to use it in the things of the kingdom. If we were just to look for a moment in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Heavenly Father."
Amen.
Let your faith shine.
Yeah.
Let your faith shine.
Yeah.
Let it shine before men. Let them see your faith doing good works.
Yeah.
Let them see your faith moving things and changing circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
That through it, glory will be given to our Heavenly Father. So we need to just be encouraged in that at this point in time, that our faith is there to begin to be seen, to be active. Faith that God has given to us is not a faith that is passive, that just says, "Oh, you know, that's it." It's if you want, when you put yeast into when you're making bread, if you leave it in a warm place, covered over, that small ball of
dough
is activated by yeast, and suddenly it begins to grow, doesn't it? And if you look at it carefully, there are bubbles, and there's an activity, there's an action going on.
There is,
within that dough, when it becomes three times, four times bigger, maybe.
Yeah.
Depends how long it's left, in that sense. So our faith, to some degree, should be like yeast.
Yeah.
As yeast is to bread, so faith is to us. That suddenly that yeast, that of faith, begins to cause us to grow in strength, and we become bigger.
Yeah.
Not physically bigger. But we become larger in faith. We increase, and we become stronger in faith. Because it's been activated, and the Word of God works with faith, and it activates us and increases and grows. So it's important that we learn to let faith begin to. There's a verse of Scripture: "Let faith arise, and your enemies be scattered."
Yeah.
Right? Let faith arise. It's like let faith rise up. Let faith like the yeast in bread, it rises. Let faith rise and the enemies be driven and scattered back and driven away. And so, and whatever your enemy is, that's what faith needs to go for.
Yeah.
Let it arise and attack. Whether it be sickness, whether it be depression, whether it be fears, whatever it is, faith will arise and deal with it.
Yeah.
And the Word of God will begin to work with faith. And so it's important that we allow our faith to be quickened. And so in James, he's encouraging them that, you know, let your faith become active. Let it begin to do great things. And so it's important that we realise this here and that we move forward in those areas and see faith moving and moving mountains.
Mm.
You know, Scripture talks about having faith to move a mountain. What is the mountain? Anything that's, anything that's standing in your way of progress in your spiritual walk with God. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Anything that stands in your way of your spiritual walk with the Lord and you achieving what God wants you to achieve in that growth and development in Christ Jesus. So, it's important that we press in and that we move forward.
Acts chapter 2, from verse 14 through to the end, talks a lot more about James chapter 2, from verse 14 to the end, talks more about that subject.
So, as we look at James, back to James chapter 2, let's have a look at verse 8. If you really fulfil the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbour as yourself.
Yeah.
You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So I speak, and so do as those who will judge by the law of liberty. So many people, you know, become Christians and then suddenly begin to try and continue to live.
Yeah.
By the law. Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 actually. He says there, if you look at a woman and lust after her, he said, if you thought it, you've already broken the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, We've enough problems trying to control our thinking.
Yeah.
And the moment that something our thoughts sometimes they just flash through, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You weren't thinking about that, but all of a sudden there's something comes flashing into your mind and it's like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You think that was strange. And I mean, God sometimes does it to you. Like I said the other day, I was driving in the car. I wasn't thinking about anything, but I was driving over the North Bridge, I believe. And suddenly, somebody that used to come to the church flashed into my mind. And I thought, oh, okay. So I just prayed for him. And then they appeared in church on Sunday. That's all I did. So sometimes these things flash through. But the thing is, when if God suddenly brings somebody to mind, you might not know why, but just pray.
Mm-hmm.
You might be the key that's just unlocking something to release them.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, I just did as God told me, and that was it. And I'm not going to go. I don't need to go into any more detail other than I was obedient to pray.
Yeah.
And if there'd have been more, I think God would have sort of told me.
Yeah.
But it was a case of, this person came into my mind, so I thought, right, I'll just pray for them, wherever they are, Lord, etc. You know their needs, and just draw them back to yourself in some way or another. Not necessarily to here.
No.
You know, but draw them back into your kingdom, into relationship
with you.
Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah.
See? And so obviously something happened. So praise God for that. And so God is listening to our very prayers. And he's listening at the same time as we pray, he's listening to the faith that is within our prayers. As yeast is within the bread, so faith needs to be in the prayers.
Yeah, yeah.
The faith empowers the prayers.
Amen.
You see?
Yeah.
Pray believing. Pray in faith. Or pray with faith, you see. And these two words, they work together, create something within the spiritual atmosphere, and they change things within the physical realm.
Yeah.
You see? See, God is spirit, but again, God changes things within the physical realm.
Yeah.
I saw something on Facebook this week. Grace and I watched it the other night, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was preaching, and he was showing he was zooming in on stars that were something like 160 million light years away. However far that is, I've no idea. But I don't think my Volvo will make it. So, and what he was saying was that obviously we as the scientists have put round the Earth these radio telescopes, and they are picking up sounds that have been emitted by these stars that are out there in these galaxies. Now, we know that in Scripture it says that the stars sing together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Scripture says that. But we just pass it by, because you see, the way the Earth is now, we don't hear it.
No.
But the way the Earth was created in the beginning, you would have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll explain that another night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Understand.
There was something about the Earth when God first created it that allowed you to hear the stars. So now we've got these telescopes, and so they were listening to two or three different stars, and they took some of some of them were beating at different rates, and then he brought in whale songs, you know, because we know that whales communicate by sounding the deep, and it even goes right round to the other side of the Earth. It carries so well in water, and so he put all this together, and then they actually put a worship song in, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It was good.
With the beat from one of the stars and the whale song, and I thought, I must get either Bill or Daniel to somehow download it so we could actually put it on the laptop and just as a church, just listen to it. It's quite just. It was only for a few moments, you know, just a few minutes, but it was really sort of like, wow! It just confirms that God has done mighty things.
Mm-hmm.
He's done amazing things, and we have not yet seen them all by a long, long way. But God has done some great and powerful things.
It's all creation worships you.
That's right. And it says in the word, all creation
worships
God.
Mm. Well, somebody said that animals must have talked in the beginning, because you weren't bothered about the serpent talking, because you didn't think, oh, what are you doing? How can you talk? I don't know whether it's right or not, but because look at the donkey that he made talk, didn't he? Balaam's donkey. So I don't know whether they did or not. I don't know.
No, I'm sure you don't about that.
I just thought, just do a little thing. We'll know one day.
I don't know about that one.
I don't think it's called English. She maybe couldn't understand what it's
You were getting to the point of Dr. Doolittle. Right, let's get back to Scripture. Never mind Mr. Ed and Dr. Doolittle. You'll watch out, as they say. Verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yeah.
And we have to realise that God moves in our lives to and he brings mercy through salvation, through faith, that we've obtained mercy in the presence of God. Now you find so many people who become so legalistic that they come to Christ and then for some reason they become legalistic about everything. And the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, if you fail to fill one of the laws, if you fail to fill one of the laws, then you failed in them all. So, in other words, there is no possibility for each and any of us to try and live by the law. And there are churches who try and insist that people live by the law.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
No.
You know, it's been tried for over 4,000 years with the Jews.
Yeah.
And they failed. And they were, in quotes, the chosen people of God.
Yeah.
And they failed. They had miracles and various other things before them. So, for us, and for all of humanity, we need the love, the mercy of God that comes into our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we have to learn to live in that love and that mercy of God.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we're just going to abuse it, but we live by it in the power and the strength of God.
Yeah.
So,
I thought it was interesting on Sunday when you asked Stephen what prison did for him.
Yeah. Made him worse.
Yeah. The law didn't improve it, did it?
The law, you know, the law's not a thing. Sadly, it just doesn't improve that in that sense.
Look, the law has no mercy.
No, it doesn't.
The law does not read an individual situation.
No, it doesn't. No.
When you're welcome to that.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the mercy of God that reads that and that changes our lives. So when somebody comes and they start laying down rules and regulations and laws, it's like, well, you're going to fail. Yeah. You're not going to be able to keep them. And so we have to fall upon the mercy of God.
Mm.
In fact, a very interesting thing was that many years ago we went down to London and we went to the Tower of London. And in the Tower of London they had a number of ceremonial swords, ancient swords. And I was admiring these beautiful swords, the jewels and everything and the shape of the swords. But when you get to this Sword of Mercy, I noticed something that was very different about it. And that the Sword of Mercy does not have a point on the end.
No.
So if you fall on the Sword of Mercy, it doesn't kill.
No.
It might bruise you, but it won't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you fall on other swords, and they will go straight through you.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sword of Mercy is a blunted sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that is interesting.
Was actually cut off.
It was the end was rounded, so there was no way would it penetrate. You know, it was quite amazing that it was just that it was symbolic. It was there to speak and to tell you this is what the Sword of Mercy, this is what mercy is like. It's not that kills you, it's that that brings you to that place of forgiveness and restoration.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting when I saw that. I thought, wow, I've never sort of seen that. You know, I hear them talk about the Sword of Mercy, but when you see it, you begin to realise the way it's designed. It was designed, and that's why it is called the Sword of Mercy, because it will not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy will not kill. No, mercy does not destroy.
No.
Mercy restores,
amen,
brings back together. So it's important that we realise that even in our daily walk, God is merciful to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's compassionate towards us.
Yeah.
And so we can approach a merciful God without fear.
Yeah.
Because we know if we've done something wrong, as if we repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And so we're able to fall upon his mercy and find his forgiveness and realise the importance that of having a merciful God. But if he was a God that was just purely on law, by the law we should be dead. By the law he should kill us. By the law he should destroy us. And many churches at the moment still preach law. Well, yeah, it's the mercy of God that is so important. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. You know, it's like, no. You've got to follow the word of God. You've got, the things that you've got to do is like, you've got to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's the most important thing. Because when you've a relationship with him and you're in love with him, he will guide you, will direct you by his word, he will encourage you, and we will do the right things. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Good question. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? You know, Paul tells people later on, he says, you'll see my faith by my works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, faith worketh, you see. This is the thing of the yeast in the bread. It works. It's the yeast that does the work, and it's faith in you and I that works on the word of God and quickens it and brings it to life.
Faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
And we have this bread maker at home, and we always make bread, and we started getting some loaves that, well, you just... They weren't rising hardly.
They were sad.
They were sad pieces of bread. They were dreadful. And it's like, well, you know what's wrong? And so in the end, it was the yeast.
We changed the flour.
But it was the yeast, and it was the yeast that was no good. And faith needs to be acted like good yeast.
Yeah.
And it will then cause an expansion and a growth.
Yeah.
And there will be an increase in us and in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Joyce says that faith's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you
wish you got that off
train
me.
It.
Said that for years. She got that off me. Said it for years. Every one of us, we've got all the same muscles, but you know, if we don't use them,
no.
You'll lose them.
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes.
If you don't use them, you'll lose them.
Yeah.
And faith, if you don't use it, you start to lose it.
Yeah.
You start to doubt it. And so you have to keep using your faith and cause it to be growing and to be strengthened. Like muscles, like yeast, it's important that those things are used for his praise and for his glory.
Mm.
You see, it's faith that saved us.
Yeah.
By faith, you are saved. And that is a gift of God. And so that faith has brought you to salvation. That faith has brought you into relationship with Jesus. That faith will carry you on and keep you moving forward with God in the future. And so we need to nurture our faith, and we nurture our faith, we feed our faith by the Word of God. The Word of God is like the warmth at times to... that just encourages that yeast to begin to activate itself within the rest of the dough. And so, you know, the word of God activates faith within us, and our faith begins to grow, we begin to expand, and we begin to see signs, wonders and miracles in the future. So it is important that we let our faith continue to grow and feed it on the word of God. Verse 15 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the thing which they are need of for their body, what does it profit? Thus faith also by itself does not have works, is dead. So faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead.
Yeah.
It's nothing. And it's a little bit like this project that we're talking about, Project 100, where we're going to get you know, bags of food and things together for people, mm-hmm. and we're going to take the scripture and present the gospel to mm-hmm. them and give them a food parcel of some sort and other things within it.
Yeah.
And so our faith is not just about words, but it is about our action.
Yeah.
And that we will give and let that food parcel be an action from our faith, but also let it be that that food parcel turns into some sort of faith within that person's life, that it activates something in them and they begin to question where they're at and begin to wonder what should they be doing with their lives, and surely there's something better than where I am.
Amen.
And begin to seek Amen. For God. And so it is important that we, our faith will show works, and that we, by our faith, minister into people's lives, and lives are changed through the power of the gospel. And the power of the gospel is working in you and me.
Yeah.
Verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Okay.
There's that scripture, you know, it's James actually that's saying, I'll show you my faith by my works.
Mm.
So many people can talk, oh, I've got faith, but there are no works that accompany the faith.
Yeah.
And that's not possible. Faith, real faith, true faith of God, will do something, mm-hmm. will create a work, will cause something to happen powerfully.
Yeah.
When faith came into your lives, you changed, you became a Christian.
I sure did.
It changed you. It brought new birth.
Yeah.
It brought you into a relationship with God, whereas before you didn't have no knowledge of God in that sense. No true knowledge of God. No real understanding of God. So it's important that our faith is crucial, and that it's crucial also that our faith should be active.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
I love that.
You know,
tremble.
The thing is that I just, before you get to that point though, it says there, he talks about, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the devils believe that, he says. So it's all right, you know, folks say, well, I believe in God. Yeah, that's not enough.
No.
That's not enough.
No.
Believing in God is not enough.
No.
Believing in God and then letting faith act in your life and begin to change the situation and circumstances, that faith does a work that stops things in its tracks, that brings healing, that brings life. And so it's important that you and I realise that as even the devil believes in Jesus.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So for somebody to say, well, I believe in Jesus, well, that's all right. What does that make you? Does that make you a friend of the devil? Or do you actually have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm.
Have you accepted him as Lord and Saviour?
Yeah.
Have you got faith in him?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the big difference.
Yeah.
I know it says in the devil's fear and tremble.
Yeah.
But when we know who God is, and if we don't know him as who he is, then we would tremble.
Mm.
If we don't know him as our Lord and Saviour, we would tremble before him. So it's important that we know that there is a great power in God himself.
Mm.
And that God works with our faith. And the word of God works with our faith.
Yeah.
And so it's not about just simply saying, well, I believe in God. That's not good enough.
No.
It is not good enough. The actions have to follow with this.
Yeah.
Faith has to work with this.
Mm.
Because, as James says, well, even the demons believe. So, what difference does that make you to a demon? Nothing, lest you have that faith in God, and faith begins to show works.
Yeah.
And it is important that we believe these things and we begin to move forward into things. And so I just want to encourage you tonight that what you have to realise that our faith is not static.
No.
It's not one size. It continues to grow.
Amen.
It's like putting that yeast in that mixture, and that dough then begins to gradually increase. And you leave it, and that dough will keep working on it.
Yeah.
And causing it to grow and to grow and to grow. Another one with yeast that they use is when they make ginger beer. And they begin to make that, and they can keep splitting it, and they can pass it on to somebody else, and they can make ginger beer from that, can't they? Mm-hmm. And so it continues. There is this splitting in one sense, but it's like this multiplication.
Yeah.
And that's God. Mm-hmm. And so our faith needs to be able to go off somewhere and cause something to begin to multiply, to bring increase. Because God is a God of increase.
Yeah.
God is not a God of taking away from us, but God is a God of increase.
Amen.
He's an abundant God. When Jesus said, you know, about being pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give unto you. So, but this giving unto you is so that you might give to others, that you might share with others, that you might impact somebody's life with that that's been given to you. And in doing that, you change the direction of a person's life.
Amen.
In doing that, you bring in the power of creation into a person's life, and it changes circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
And that's the power of the gospel. And that's the power of the faith that God has given to you, because he's given it to you.
We all have the same measure.
Same measure of faith. Now let's begin to use it. Let that faith begin to bring that increase so that we can begin to give to others that faith that is needed in their lives. And let's begin to see that grow. And God will move mightily, change circumstances and situations powerfully. So our faith is not static. Static faith won't save you.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to save you. It's dead. Faith that has got life in it, that moves you to another direction, that's where we need to be. You know, the faith that grows in us affects our actions.
Yeah.
When faith begins to move, we are stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
And we do things that, let's say, we wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But when faith begins to stir within us, we do things beyond where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's faith stirring in us and pressing us forward to do something beyond where we are. We step beyond, well, we reach beyond where we're at, and we're reaching out in faith because our faith has been stirred up within us, and there's an expansion of faith. Like when you pray for your family, when you pray for your friends, there has to be that stirring up and believing God, and then you begin to thank God and say, thank you Lord, my children are saved. Thank you Lord, you're bringing my children into the kingdom. Thank you Lord, you're going to set them free. Thank you Lord, you're going to bring me, if you want a new job, a new job. Well, thank you, Lord, you're going to do this. Thank you, you're doing that, Lord. And you pray and you begin to expect, Lord, thank you for this building that you've given to us. Everything that goes with it, all the paperwork,
Amen.
Signed, sealed and delivered.
Amen.
We just thank you, Lord, that it is as you have said.
It is.
And then you just start to praise God and keep moving on and blessing the Lord for it.
Yeah.
And declaring it before principalities and powers.
Amen.
And every demon, so that they tremble at the faith that you have got, because your faith has actually become active.
Yeah.
You see, yeast on its own doesn't do anything. You can have it on a table. That's yeast, that. Yeah. So if we were to use the same, we could put faith on the table. But if we don't mix it with something, it's going to do nothing. It's just going to sit there. Oh, that's lovely, we've got faith. But our faith needs to be involved. Needs to connect with actions, needs to connect with our words, needs to connect with our prayers, and then we see things happen to the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
It says somewhere about faith working through love.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
faith works through love. So,
add a bit of sugar to the yeast and add a bit of love to the beer.
Yeah, this is it. You see, God always causes things to at least run in twos.
Yeah.
That things happen together. And God begins to move things and change things. So, be encouraged. You know, begin to stir up that faith. Begin to release your faith into doing things. Begin to release your faith to start to change circumstances and situations. And as you do that, you'll see God answering prayer. You'll see God changing circumstances. And you'll see God moving mightily. In verse 23, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, Abraham operated in faith. You read Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
And Abraham's called the father of faith. Mm-hmm. Now, if you read the Old Testament, a lot of it, you'd think, he struggled with that. But you see, God took it from that point where he believed him and he trusted him at that point in time, and that's when he became the father of faith. Yeah. And so that it's for you and for me. We have to reach out to that point of becoming children of faith, believing God to do great miracles. And then God says, it's accounted to you as righteousness. Mm. Praise God.
It was when he was 99.
Yeah.
The promise came, the faith produced. That's when he became the father of faith.
Yeah. You know, and he was called the friend of God. Mm. What a name. Yeah. The friend of God. That's what we want to hear.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. God saying to us, you're my friend.
Mm.
You're my friend. Wow. Now, we can't expect that. Well, it happened with Abraham.
Mm.
Because he believed God. He believed what the promises of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, and he became the friend of God. God called him. God brought him in, you see.
Mm.
You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So again, it's this combination of things. Faith and works together. So faith has to be active. Faith has to move. And see the dimensions of things around us change. Likewise, it says, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Again, her actions, she believed the promise that they gave to her, that she and her family, if they hung that scarlet cord out and stayed there, they would not perish.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the rest of the city did.
Yeah.
And she stayed in there. Yeah. And she's in the line of David.
Yeah.
Now you and I would have said, we're not bringing up, don't mention that in our family line. We don't want to bring it. Just rub that one out. We don't need to put her in there, you know, her trade that she were involved in. But God just flatly puts it in, and Rahab, you know. He's not ashamed. Because he's a God of forgiveness, restoration.
Yeah.
Of faithfulness, of working miracles. Verse 26, the last verse, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Mm.
What keeps it alive? The Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not your heart, not your mind. Spirit of God keeps us alive.
Mm-hmm.
When that Spirit leaves us, they can't do anything to bring us back.
No.
Not a thing. It's the Spirit that quickens us. It's the dynamo to life.
Yeah.
And so it says in the Word of God, so faith without works is dead also. So our faith has to be active. Our faith has to be moving. Our faith has to be creative. Our faith will change and move things.
Yeah.
It's the faith that God gave us.
Mm. When you said about it before, when if you don't use your faith, it's dead. That reminded me then of the talents, the one that buried it, didn't you? You didn't do anything with it.
It's the same type of thing that God's saying to us over and over and over again. You've got to be active. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't say, I use it in the past, you've heard me say it. Folk, they get saved, they get the little thing, I've got my ticket, I'm going to heaven, it's all right. No. You just on first run of the ladder.
You just started.
Now you've got to be active. Now you've got to start doing. Now you've got to start declaring. You've got to speak the word of God. You've got to tell people. You've got to show people Jesus.
Yeah.
How else will they hear? Lest they hear from you and me.
Yeah.
And God will ask us one day, what did you do in that circumstance? Did you tell them? Did you show them? Did you show them mercy? Did you show them love? Did you declare my glory? That's the question.
Mm.
What's the answer? God wants us to be moving, you know. It's not a static faith. It's a faith that moves mountains. It's
Amen.
A faith that changes circumstances.
Mm.
It's a faith that brings healing, deliverance, sets the captive free, brings salvation. That's the faith. Don't be ashamed of it.
No.
Don't be ashamed of Jesus.
No.
He's not ashamed of you.
No.
And he's probably got more to be ashamed of you and me than he has of anything
else.
You know, sometimes when we fail and think, failed again. No, he just says, well, we just got to forgive them and love them and pick them up, dust them off and keep moving them on. They're created to be winners.
Mm-hmm.
So God moves us on in himself, stronger and stronger and stronger. And so let faith arise and let its enemies be scattered. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
It's interesting too that until it says faith working through love, and love is grace, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in legalism, the faith isn't going to work because the two don't work together, do they? Law has no love, it has no mercy.
Yeah.
So you've got to live in the grace of God for your faith to work.
I think it's grace and mercy that go together, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah.